Well, hello and welcome back to Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. We are a ministry of the Wash and Word hand car washing business in Church Hill on Highway 11. We are located in the Palace Shopping Center, and there you can have your car washed or cleaned out, or you can get full details. My name is Matthew Monona, and along with my wife, Victoria, we own and operate the car wash, and there we earn our money to support this ministry and to support our personal finances and the business. We offer these verse-by-verse Bible teachings free of charge to download or listen to on the washandword.com website. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. There you can listen to these and all of our archived verse-by-verse teachings, along with finding out all the information you could possibly need about the business. We also invite you back to this radio station at 8:30 a.m. Monday through Friday for a continued teaching of verse by verse. We are now in the book of John, Gospel of John, and we are about to begin chapter 5. And so we are going to look into a new section in the Gospel of John. We see that chapter 5 marks a change in John's gospel. The first four chapters of this book focused mainly on his deity, and now we're going to switch gears, and it's going to focus a lot more on the results of that fact, namely persecution and rejection. And so let's pick it up in verse 1 of John chapter 5, and it reads, "Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now, there in Jerusalem, near the Sheep's Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, 'Do you want to get well?'" All right, let's stop right there. A couple of things. Most of you, I'm sure, listening to this aren't probably using the same translation I am. You probably use King James Version, which is fine. I'm never going to get into a debate with you about versions of the Bible, because the Bible speaks of itself, and a few changes in words isn't going to change the entire gospel message front to back. So, nevertheless, if you look at verse 4 in the NIV, for instance, there is no verse 4. This is only found in the King James version, and the reason is that the NIV decided to omit it because in the 400 years since the King James Version was translated, many older manuscripts have surfaced, and they did not have that verse. And that verse is the one where it says an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, and he troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And so the NIV omits this because they found manuscripts dating back to within 150 years of the original documents of the New Testament, and that verse was not there. So these some of the changes that are in the different translations, I admit, some of them are kind of bad. Some of them shouldn't have been changed, or their change maybe changes an entire direction of the story. And there are some instances in some translations where that does take place, but a lot of times where we harp on the changes, it's actually better that these changes were made, because we have since found other manuscripts that prove and show that these particular verses in the original translations weren't there or were not exactly clear. So again, not to get off on a tangent, but the translation that you use is the one God laid on your heart, and that's fine. We'll leave it at that. Before we really get into this description here of what's going on with the sick man in the pool, I found it kind of interesting as I'm reading these first six verses. And I asked myself, why all this great description? You know, we see so many different little details in the telling of this story. They seem insignificant, even. I mean, you know, they're very specific that Jesus went to Jerusalem and it was for a feast, and that they're at the Sheep's Gate, and at the Sheep's Gate there's a pool called Bethesda, and then it's surrounded by five covered colonnades. And then it talks about the one man, the invalid that was there, that he lay there for exactly 38 years. You know, interesting details of all that. And so I wanted to do a little quick, I kind of saw an interesting connection between the description and the details of this little part of the story to the overall aspect of salvation. And so we'll take a quick look at this, because they're not really as insignificant details as they may seem. I see sort of a picture formed here, not just of healing, but of salvation, which is really the ultimate healing, isn't it? The festival drew them to Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem, also known as the City of David, was God's city. And so the festival, I believe it was Pentecost. I'll have to look it up. It's really not that important. But the festival brought the people to Jerusalem, which is the place of worship, to God's city. So the festival brought them, in a sense, to God. And so the first thing I want to look at here in this connection that I'm trying to make is that your circumstances bring you to a place where God dwells. And that's what happened here. The circumstances, that being the feast, brought them all to the city of God, or to where God dwells, in a sense. And so your circumstances, the things that you're going through in your life, your trials and your troubles and your pain and your sickness and all of those things, they are bringing you, they are ordained events. They're not random in your life, but it's God's way of drawing you unto Himself. There is no coincidence in the things that are happening to you in your life right now. There are no random happenings that are causing all this chaos. No, God is ordaining it all to bring you to Jerusalem, or to a place where God dwells, or quickly speaking, bringing you closer to God. So the festival in our story here is basically can be translated life, the things that are happening to you, and that is getting you closer to God. The festival brought them to Jerusalem. Your circumstances are bringing you closer to God. Now, once in Jerusalem, once brought closer to God, we see here a gate called the Sheep's Gate, wherein lies a pool known as Bethesda. Now, there are some interesting things about these few descriptions here. The Bible says that like sheep, we have all gone astray. And also in the book of John, which we'll look at in the messages to come, Jesus himself calls himself the gate. I am the gate. So like sheep, we have all gone astray, and Jesus is the gate. So we are being drawn to Jerusalem, to the Sheep's Gate. And we are all sheep. You know, whether we follow Jesus or we follow Satan, we are nonetheless a sheep. And to become a sheep of Christ, or one of the flock, we need to what? Well, we need to be saved, and we need to be forgiven, and we need to accept the sacrifice of Christ for our sins. So as sheep, if we do this, we now belong to a heavenly flock. And as a new believer, what is the first thing we are commanded to do after salvation, or even simultaneously with salvation? We see it all the time in the New Testament, especially in the early church. Repent and be what? Yeah, baptized. So along with repentance, or along with this salvation, we are also to be baptized. So we have the sheep, which is us. We have the gate, which is Jesus. We have the pool, which is called Bethesda. And by the way, the word Bethesda means house of mercy. So putting this together, we are drawn to Jerusalem, that is, to God, by the festival, which is the circumstances and trials and tribulations of life. And we are drawn there, and then we are presented with the sheep's gate. So we stand there as a sheep at this gate that Jesus calls himself the gate. And that gate is really just a place of decision. In fact, that's what the sheep's gate means. It means a place of decision. So we have to make this decision. Are we going to walk through the gate, that is, walk into Christ? Are we going to enter into the pool and be baptized, so to speak? And it's interesting how these little insignificant or seemingly insignificant details really paint a picture of salvation and how we can come to salvation. But there's a couple of other interesting things here. One is the five colonnades that surround this pool. Well, what are these colonnades or these porches? Well, these are the places, this is the place where all of the sick and the lame who are waiting for the waters to be churned up are probably hanging out, waiting for that to happen. And now, getting back to verse 4, which is omitted in the NIV, for instance, talks about the angel would come down and stir up the waters. And then after the stirring up, you would jump in and be healed, first one in. The stirring of the pool by the angel, well, that in our connection story here is actually a minister or an evangelist or a pastor or you. You see, when you lay the gospel out before somebody, you preach the message of Christ to somebody, if you are a spirit-filled believer or preacher, you can indeed, quote, stir or trouble the waters of the conscience of the person you are speaking to. And so the angel that stirred up the waters can be translated to the person who stirs up the conscience or the spirit within another person, within an unbeliever. So we are technically, in this translation story, the angel that stirs up the water. We bring the message of Christ, and it stirs up the conscience. And then that person comes to the sheep's gate, that place of decision. And there they have to decide whether they're going to become a flock or turn and go away. And there are five colonnades. And five, incidentally, the Bible speaks of many numbers having significant meanings in the Bible, and five is the number of death. And so there's these colonnades filled with people, five of them. So they're in death. They're unsaved, as it were. They are still in their sin and in their sickness in these five colonnades. And then it says that this one man lay there for 38 years. Why 38? Why not 40, the number of judgment? Why not? Well, there's significance to the number 3 or 30, and that is redemption. It means redemption. And the number 8 means new beginning. So when you put them together, there's redemption and new beginning. So this man lay here for 38 years, which is a symbol of redemption and new beginning before he got healed by Christ, the resurrection and the regeneration. And so what seems like just a story of some interesting facts really paints an interesting picture of how salvation works. We are drawn to Jerusalem, the city of God. We are drawn to God through our circumstances. We stand at the sheep's gate. We are sheep, and Jesus is the gate, and we enter into that gate. We are baptized in the pool that means house of mercy, and we go from the colonnade of death into the new resurrection and the new generation. Just amazing how God's word is so deep when you really get into it. So I encourage you to study God's word in depth and come back here as we continue our in-depth study of God's word in a verse-by-verse format. Tomorrow we will begin in chapter 5, picking up where we left off. Until then, have a blessed day. Go to WashingtonWord.com, view this and other messages. God bless.